God is always with us even when it doesn't seem obvious. And we kind of know that, but it's easy to forget too. We can get discouraged in our own faith lives, disappointed in ourselves because we're not living holy and blameless lives like St. Paul tells us we should be. We can get disappointed in our world because there's so much injustice and there's war everywhere all the time, and listening to the 10 o'clock news can just be depressing. Despite the signs to the contrary, we Christians are the ones who live in hope that grace is active despite the evidence to the contrary. These readings today are from prophetic word and from Jesus himself, encouraging people to have that kind of faith and hope in what seems invisible. So the greatest metaphor in the Old Testament for that loss of hope, that sense of abandonment and failure and loss, is the exile. About 500 years before Christ, 90% of the Israelite population was exiled to Babylon, hundreds of miles away. And they were there for 70 years before they were released by a new power and allowed to go back to Israel. So that's obviously a long time. So God sent them prophets like Ezekiel to encourage them in their sense of abandonment. And so today we hear Ezekiel giving this image of taking a snip, a small branch from the top of a cedar tree in Babylon and transplanting it on the mountain of God, which is Jerusalem, in Israel. And that it grows into an enormous tree and people rest in its branches, in its shade. And it took 70 years for them to go back. But in some ways, Ezekiel's promise is fulfilled in Christ, which happened 500 years later. And the tree of Christ is the cross. And the cross is an instrument of torture and capital punishment. How can that be a tree of life? It's a tree of life because resurrection is beyond it. And I guess that's what Ezekiel and all the prophets and what Jesus is always encouraging us to do, is trust in the resurrection beyond our deaths. And that can sometimes be difficult because trees take a long time to grow. Jesus in the gospel today gives us that image of this tiny little mustard seed that can grow over time into an enormous bush, big enough for birds to nest in its branches. But it takes years for that to happen. Do we have the fortitude? Do we have the hope to believe that things are happening even though you can't watch them? I love that first image that Jesus gives about the seed sown into the ground and the farmer waits for something invisible to happen. We here in Kansas, we plant our wheat in September and we don't harvest it until June. And the harvest is going on right now, so that's a perfect weekend for us to have that gospel. And the farmer plants that wheat in September and the soil is tilled and it's fertilized and everything that he can possibly do is already done. He just has to wait and trust that something is happening beneath the soil. And when that winter wheat goes dormant and turns brown, he has to trust that it's going to turn green again in the spring. So it is with our faith. St. Paul, in that second reading, tells the Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. So much of what we believe, so much of our faith life happens invisibly. And we have to trust that God's grace is active even when it doesn't seem to be. And we have to trust in ourselves that we can endure even though we sometimes doubt that we can. I've been diocesan administrator for 6 months. And there were times when I doubted that there would be a bishop named. But you see, it's happened. That's why I have this big smile on my face. You know, every Sunday here, we celebrate a sacrament of hope. We celebrate in advance a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. The altar in a Catholic church always symbolizes the kingdom realized, and we celebrate the heavenly banquet here. This is the meal of the kingdom that God has promised through all the prophets, that fulfillment that we have been awaiting for thousands of years. And we don't know how much longer it's going to be for that all to be fulfilled. And yet, there's a sense in which it already has happened. Christ, for him, he's already sitting at the right hand of the Father. Everything has been assumed under his headship. It's all realized. He sits at the altar in heaven and intercedes for us in the meantime, because for us who are locked in time, it still hasn't happened yet. But in God, everything is already resolved. And in the liturgy, time collapses. And all time is one, just like it is for God. And so this is the meal of the kingdom. This is the realized kingdom. But it takes faith. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. We don't trust in what we see with our eyes. We trust in what we see with our hearts, with our faith. The altar in a church is oriented. You know, in the first two or three centuries of the church, all the church buildings had to be oriented, which meant that the altar was on the east end, so that when the people prayed, they were facing east, because there was that legendary understanding that when Christ comes again, he will come up over the eastern horizon, just like the S-U-N, the S-O-N will rise above the eastern horizon. And so we're facing east. Our prayer is always a prayer of expectation. It's always a prayer filled with hope. Now, you all know that this is kind of northeast. You know, this is not an oriented church, literally. But every Catholic church is oriented theologically. So the altar is theological east. So whenever we're facing the altar, we are praying in hope. We are looking at the realized kingdom symbolized by this altar. And we are eating sacramentally of the meal of the kingdom. One of the reasons we can live in hope, despite the length of our deaths, the length of our sufferings, one of the reasons we can live in hope is because week after week we have done what we're doing here this morning. How do people live in hope who don't do this every Sunday? You know, there's a reason the church commands us under pain of mortal sin to participate in Mass every Sunday. Not just because we love rules. It's because if you don't do this, where is your hope going to come from? If you don't remember Christ's sacrifice for us, the reconciliation that was won for us on the cross, how are you going to be sacrificial for others? If you don't remember who you are in the context of the body of Christ, then you've lost your identity. This is critically important for us to be doing this every Sunday. This is how we live in the long haul. This is how our faith endures. This is how we can walk by faith and not by sight.